Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
John chapter 3 from verse 15 to 16. You know, one of the most outstanding attributes of God that we have come to understand in our study of God is His love. The love of God is so outstanding that it makes Him stand out in everything He does. In fact, the Bible was speaking, and the Bible said, as wicked as your earthly parents are, He said, will you ask them for fish and they give you a serpent? He said, will you ask them for bread and they give you a stone? Now, the last time I checked, my mother was not wicked. My father has never been wicked to me. And so when I probed into that scripture, I tried to understand what God was talking about. And the point God was trying to advance was to give you a comparison that reveals the overwhelming dimension of His love. God is not calling our parents wicked, as it were, because the Bible attests to the fact that we should honor our parents because they are a blessing to us. And so what God was trying to reveal to us in that scripture is the fact that although our parents are so loving, they are such a blessing to us, but compared to His love for us, the best our parents have to offer is wickedness. So it reveals to you the overwhelming dimension of the love of God. And when you begin to study the love of God, you will discover that on account of His love, there are many insurance systems He has put in place that will serve as an advantage for the believer, because He understands that we grow from childhood to maturity. And if these insurance systems are not put in place, all of us will die before we mature. And even when we mature, we will still need it, because we are dealing with an adversary that is a captain of wickedness. God knows that if He does not create insurance systems, either our ignorance destroys us or the devil destroys us. Because the world we are walking in is a wicked and treacherous world. I've shared with you many times how the Bible said the dark places of the earth, He said they are the habitation of cruelty. And you ask, where are the dark places of the earth? Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 said the whole world is covered with darkness. So when they said the dark places of the earth, is everywhere in the earth. Everywhere on earth is a habitation of cruelty. And so because God is aware of the level of wickedness that is in the world, according to Isaiah 60 from verse 1 to 3 and Psalm 74 verse 20, He created an insurance system for our safety. And the first of that system is eternal life. God knows that if you function here as a man, you'll be defeated. So He decided to upgrade your class of existence. So although you are walking with men, but you are not a man. You are a hybrid creature. He decided to put the light that powers him on your inside. So that the things he can do, you also will have the capability to do it. So eternal life, according to the original word from whence it was translated, is the word chei olam. It's a Hebrew word. And chei olam is the life of the age that is to come. So what God did was not just to upgrade you. He gave you a life that the people that will live in the next dispensation will walk with. That's the life he gave you now. So by implication, you are walking in this age, but you are actually a creature of the next age. And so automatically, because of eternal life, you are upgraded beyond the challenges of this age the moment you understand it. This is why they define eternal life as a sickless life, a deathless life. The reason is this. The people in the age to come, they don't fall sick. There's no sickness in that age. The people in the age to come, they don't die. And so what God did was to give you the life that will power the creatures that will live in the next aeon and in the next dispensation. So while you are walking in this world now, you are already beyond this world. You are carrying a life that qualifies you to live like a creature that will exist after the rapture. That is the life Jesus lived and walked with, and that's the life you and I have now. And so when you grow in spiritual understanding, you discover that you metamorphose into different versions of that life. And so growth automatically now becomes an insurance system, because growth is actually your ability to master the potentials of eternal life. If you didn't have eternal life, the best of you or the best of us would have been a victim. Because demons, the life of a demon is superior to the life of a man. The moment man fell, he became a slave of demons. No matter how smart you are, no matter how cautious you are still a victim. If you have not entered trouble, it's because the devil doesn't have your time yet. The day your impact begins to appear in his radar, he will show up and say, "Who are you?" And he will crush you like a pack of cards. But because you now have a life that is superior to the realm of demons, even if he decides to frustrate you, he can't. If he decides to stop you, he can't. Because in the realm of the spirit, authority is a function of the quality of life that you are walking with. And the life we have now is the life of God. So on account of God's benevolence, he decided to share his life form with us. So that the things that God experiences, we can experience. The things that God is able to do, we can also do. And the things that cannot happen to God cannot happen to us. If it is happening to you, it's a function of your ignorance. And so the crisis of men now is not a state of disappointment. The crisis of men now is actually an alarm that there is a level of understanding they've not had. The moment you come into understanding, life subdues your problem. So life becomes an insurance system that God makes available. No matter how you love a dog, there's no way you can make a dog operate with the life of men. And so your dog will be limited. But when God showed his love towards us, he gave us his life. So by implication, we became God-men. That's why I say we are not ordinary men. We are actually God-men. The people of the world look at us and they think we are the same. They say, "All these Christians, all these men, they talk anyhow." Oh God, we are not the same. Oh. We have body so that we can participate with you, because we still have a stake in this world. But when you see our reality, we are different. Some of us, when you open us in the chambers of life, we are carrying fire. You don't know what I'm saying. When you check some of us out in life, we are bombs in Gilead. That's why when you touch somebody, he's healed. Men don't touch people and they get healed. How can somebody have cancer? You say, "Cancer, go." Cancer doesn't hear English. So it means what you are saying is not English. Although it sounds like English, but what you are saying is actually spirit and life. That's why your words become like radiation. The same way radiation dematerializes cancer, your voice now dematerializes cancer, because you are functioning in the God class. And the reason you can function in the God class is because you have the life of God. And so John 3:15 and 16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave unto us" what? eternal life, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So eternal life becomes an eternal insurance system against perishing. A man that carries eternal life can never know destruction, can never perish. It's a eternal life is the cure to perishing. And so everybody sitting here that has life, you have come into indestructibility. You have come into sicklessness. You have come into deathlessness. You have come into an upgraded kind of life that nothing can destroy. If something is happening to you, tell the devil, don't worry, this thing will not kill me. It's an alarm that there's a knowledge I don't have. And so instead of crying, you go to study. Some study from a book, some study from beholding in prayer. And so when you pray and you ascend, you ask yourself, how is it possible that a virus is in my body? And God will tell you, you have not emitted life. And so as you travel in life, you begin to choke the things that destroy men. Eternal life is an insurance system. But God didn't stop there. God gave us another insurance system called faith. You know what faith is? You know, there are two kinds of faith principally in scripture when you study. The first kind of faith is the faith that the fathers of old had. Is the Abrahamic kind of faith. We also have a heritage of the Abrahamic kind of faith, but we don't dwell there. We have gone past that level. The Abrahamic kind of faith is a faith that in essence is defined by your trust in God. If you operate the Abrahamic order of faith, the potency of your faith is defined by the degree to which you what? Put your trust in God. So in Romans chapter 4 verse 1, Paul was speaking. He said, what did Abraham, our father, according to the flesh found? And he began to explain the scripture, and he showed us that what Abraham found was a technology in God. That the way a man can provoke intervention from the realm of God is for that man to trust God. Abraham was the first who discovered that all the answers men are looking for is with God. But the only way you can receive that answer from the realm of God is to trust Him. The moment you are able to trust God, answers download into your realm. And that faith became an order of faith that everybody who operated before Christ had to possess in order to have a stake with God. Because if you don't trust God, you can't walk with God. And that's why Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 6 to 7 made us to understand. It said, without faith it's impossible to please God. It said, for whoever cometh to him must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that was where God began with man in the journey of faith. But that's not where God wanted to stop. Because the faith we operate with now is not the Abrahamic kind of faith. We begin with the Abrahamic kind of faith. Because it is the Abrahamic kind of faith that brings you into salvation. You have to trust God in order to receive salvation. But the moment you receive salvation, the faith economy changes. The faith we operate with now is called the God kind of faith. Now, this is the difference. If Abrahamic faith is you trusting in God for God to intervene, what will you now do if you have the faith of God? Does God trust in God? So faith, the economy of faith now changes. When you have the Abrahamic kind of faith, the degree to which you trust God is what determines the answer you have. But when you have the God kind of faith, you don't necessarily trust God anymore. You are already called a believer. When you have the God kind of faith, the ability of God is put on your inside. So what God does, you do. If the president were to come here now, and all his presence mean is to give us 10 million. I'm giving you a mundane example just to help you understand. Maybe the president is supposed to visit us in this service. And everything the president has to give us, his presence, his entourage, his validation, his association, everything means 10 million. And I come and tell you the president is coming. So his presence means 10 million. His association with us means 10 million. What he will give us is equivalent to 10 million. When I tell you the president is coming, you will trust that when he comes, 10 million will come. Because his presence, his association, everything means what? 10 million. So all you are trusting now is that what? When he comes, 10 million will now come. Is that not so? Now imagine if the president now tells me, take 10 million, go and give your people. When I come here, are you still waiting for the president to come? When I come, it means the president has come. I already have the 10 million. In the God kind of faith, we are not trusting God to intervene. God has already intervened. Because what God wants to use to intervene, he put it on our inside. So when we show up, God has shown up. When we come, the answer has come. Because when you see us, you have seen God. So Luke 10:16 says, when they hear you, they hear me. When they touch you, they touch me. In the God kind of faith, we are not trusting God to do something. The ability of God is on our inside. So what we do is to understand who we are and what God has given to us. The more we understand it, the more that ability manifests. And so you don't need Jesus to come down from heaven to touch you to be healed. When a believer touch you, you are healed, because Christ is in him, and Christ in him is the hope of glory. That is the faith that we are operating now. So faith now is a force. Faith now is an ability. Faith now is a capacity of God put in a man. So what God did for us, number two, is that he put his ability on our inside. And so the devil sees us, he trembles, because he knows what he sees God and is afraid of. We now carry it. We are no longer calling on God. Lord, show up. Lord, come. Lord, come and intervene. When we show up, God has shown up. And so, the same way the devil trembles when God comes, if a Christian comes, the devil begins to tremble. Because the man comes with God's ability. The man comes with God's power. The man comes with God's capacity. Because what God has, he has given him. Kenneth Hagin shared the story. He said, he was talking to Jesus, and a demon appeared and began to make noise. And he was no longer hearing what Jesus was saying. And he was hoping that Jesus will do something. And he told Jesus, the devil is stopping me from hearing what you are saying. Do something. And Jesus said, I can't do anything. Not because he is not sovereign enough to do something. He is actually sovereign enough to do something. But the power allocated to deal with the devil is no longer with Jesus. Because when Jesus resurrected, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You go in that power. He now told Kenneth Hagin, if you don't do anything, I can't do anything. If before Jesus resurrected, if the devil shows up, better pray to God to intervene. Because if God doesn't come, you are finished. But after Jesus resurrected, when the devil shows up, you rise up. You say, come on, what are you doing here? Get out from here. The devil will respond to you the same way he will respond to God. Because now, the ability of God is resident on your inside. The faith we have now, it begins from trusting in God, but it has gone beyond trusting in God. It is now an understanding that the ability of God is on our inside. That's why now, every time we manifest, we thank God. We give God praise for considering us worthy to host his power. So when we are going out to manifest now, we are not saying, Lord, please come and heal the sick. Lord, please come and touch the people. When we are going out now, we say, thank you, Father, for you have given us the power to cleanse lepers. You have given us the ability to heal the sick. So we are not trusting God to come and intervene. We are thanking God because he has already intervened. For his intervention now is we that he has sent to the world. That is the mentality of the new creature. Are you seeing why most of you are praying and you are not having answers? Do you know what? That's not my message. Let me go forward. Ago, and I told them, you have heard all your life that God will not share his glory. They say, yes, it's true. Yes, yes, yes. God can't share his glory. How can God share his glory with a mortal man? that you are not a mortal man, you are a new creature. He said, according as it is written, he said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High God. If he say you are God, unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken, why do you say I blaspheme when I say I'm the Son of God? You know what Jesus was doing? He was using the fact that the new creator is a God man to validate that he too can be a God man. He said, the reason I say I'm the Son of God and I'm not wrong is because the Bible says you also, you are gods, because you are the children of God. So if you can be children of God and become gods, why do you think when I say I'm the Son of God, I'm blaspheming? That's what Jesus was using our new creation status to validate why he's able to come in the flesh. That is what God has done. Many have not understood it. And I'm sharing this because this is why many are still in captivity. Say, God cannot share his glory. I read two scriptures. John chapter 17 verse 22. Project it, let's see. Jesus said, the glory you have given to me, I have given to them. What is that? Is that not sharing? The glory that you have given to me, he said, I have given to them. Why did I give them the glory? That they may be one as we are one. If you don't have the glory of God, you can never be one with God. Because the glory of God is the essence of God. How can you say you and God are one when you don't have his glory? It takes you having the glory of God to be one with God. How can you manifest God if you don't have his glory? Romans chapter 8 verse 30. See what the Bible said. We are not reading Bible. We are hearing philosophy. And that's why we can't come out from our problem. It said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And those he called, he said, them he justified. And he said, whom he justified, then he glorified. He didn't say he will glorify. He said, right now, you are already glorified. If you are not glorified, then you are not justified. The same way you are justified now, that is how you are glorified. And the reason you are glorified is because the glory that the Father shared with Jesus, Jesus shared with you. And so God shares his glory. That's why we can mirror God. That's why we can represent God. What do we mean when we say God will not share his glory? It's the praise. Anything that happens, we channel the praise to God. We say, although we were the ones who laid hands on the sick, but the sick is healed because you empowered us. Therefore, you are the one to take the glory. So it is God's praise he does not share, but he has already shared his glory with every believer. And many believers are not aware. That's why when it comes to manifesting God, they become afraid. Because they are thinking God must show up before God manifests. When you show up, God has manifested. When you speak, God has spoken. When you manifest, God has manifested. Because the same way Jesus was the brightness of his glory, you have become the brightness of his glory. Jesus came to show you the formula of God. In Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, he said, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past by the prophet and said, spake in time past, give me the scripture. My spirit is bubbling. Something is happening to me here. When I share these things, I'm angry. Because we have been limited for long by reason of ignorance. He said, he spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. He said, hath in this last day spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So Jesus was the one that manifested the glory of the Father. So when you see Jesus, you have seen the Father. Thomas told him, show us the Father that we might see him. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And John showed up. In 1 John 4:17, he said, as he is, so are we. So today, if you want to see Jesus, it's either you check the Bible or you check the believer. Anyone you want to check, you will find Jesus all the same. If you check the Bible, you will find him in the written word. If you meet a believer who has understanding, you will still find Jesus. Because both us and the world reflect the glory of the Father. You say, why are you sharing this? Why is this important? It's important because this is why many Christians can't manifest. It's important because many Christians don't know that they are the answer the world is looking for. They are hoping that when they come into a problem, they will call God to show up so that answer will come. And God is telling the world, I have sent an answer to you. The answer I sent to you are believers who call upon the name of the Lord. The answer I sent to you are the Christians that are walking among you. He said, you are the light of the world. You are a city set upon the hill. So when the world is looking for answers, we come with the answer. when we show them the answer and they tell us how, then we point them to God. That we are not God, we are the sign. It's when they see what God does through us that they can believe in our God. But we carry dead letters, dead theology, and we are trying to make people believe what ourselves have not believed. You are telling somebody, believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. You are not sure you are saved. You are telling somebody, believe in Jesus, you'll be healed. You are not even sure you live above sickness. So is it not one who is deceived, trying to deceive another person? We are the answer the world is looking for. And the reason is because God shared everything he had, even his faith. Romans 12:3, he said, everyone that believed, God dealt unto the measure of faith. Paul called it the faith of the Son of God. The faith you have now is not the kind of faith Abraham walked with, where he was trusting God to come and answer. The faith you have now is the faith God has that he gave to you. God does not trust in God. God is the faith God. Faith is his essence. And when he put that faith in you, that faith became an ability on your inside. And so the same way God can create things, manifest things, showcase things, change things, you too now have the capacity to change things. How then does this work? Does it mean you are now independent of God? No. This makes you eternally grateful to God, because God has given you his ability. God has made you his representative. This is why you cannot even be independent of God, because the moment people see you, the signature of God is on your life. When you do anything, they know this is not a man walking. There is a God on this man. And they now ask you, who is that God that you represent? Then you tell them about Jesus Christ. That's why the apostles went out. They healed the sick before they preached. They did signs and wonders before they preached. But here, when we tell you, people's faith must rise before we preach. What if you meet a deaf and blind person? How will his faith rise? What if you meet a dead man? How will his faith rise? We are the signs and we are the wonders. We are the answer that the world is looking for. When we manifest God, then we preach God. Because we have come with the answer. That's why Peter said, we have not believed cunningly devised fables. When we spoke unto you about the coming king, he said we were eyewitnesses of these things. And we have become what we have seen. We have become it. We handle it. Now, this is who we are. Do you know you have the faith of God? Do you know you are not just believing in God, but the ability God has through faith that makes him work things is also in you? If you know, your life would have changed. Because every time you read, you know you are servicing faith. Because we don't know it, even when we read, it's religious. We are trying to load a lot of verses of scripture in our head so that we will quote. But when you know that the faith of God is in you, you now read the Bible, you saw Jesus laid hands on the sick, they recover. You say, thank you, Father. The next thing you go out, you are looking for who to lay hands on. Because what was in Jesus that made him lay hands on sick and they recover is now in you. Reading the Bible now will become an adventure of self-discovery. Everything you find in Christ, you know is already in you. And so you are not reading the Bible to quote. You are reading the Bible to find yourself so that you can manifest. But it will only be like that if you know that the faith God has, you already have. The life God has, you already have. And so faith becomes an insurance system. That's why Jesus said, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, it can deal with mountain. You don't need much of it. You just need a kind of it. If you have the God kind of faith, nothing can resist it. Nothing can defile it. And so when you are manifesting, fear no longer finds expression. I was teaching this in Owerri. When I was done teaching, I caught somebody who was deaf on one ear. I said, who wants to pray? No, I first of all said, who believes that this deaf ear will open now? Everybody lifted their hands. I said, who wants to pray for this deaf person? I was shocked. More than 15 people were running out that they want to pray. I said, why are you suddenly bold? How many deaf people have you prayed for before? They just wake up to realization of what they carried. So all this while they were hearing that it's only a man who can bring God on the scene that can work miracle. They didn't know that God has created the technology that when they show up, God shows up. Because what is in God is now in them. They are the God that the world is seeing. It is through them that men will find God. And I called a sister. I didn't call a brother. Because if you call a brother, men, young people are bold. Men is their nature. I called a sister so that they will know this thing is beyond physical boldness. And the lady
came to preach, she became creative. As she came to pray for the deaf ear, she shifted to the ear and said, "Ephata." You know, when you have handled it, then style can come in. She didn't need to say open again. She entered a strange language, "Ephata," and I heard. Come on! Meraka bata kapoa. Asese katuta. Ate kaparato. Tata shag. No. Fire. I come in the bottle.
In the volume of the book, it is written about me. It is written about me to do your will.
Hey, I will do it.
I will do your will. I will do your will.
I will do your will.
Your will.
You know, hear this. The reason we are afraid. It's because what they taught us grew uncertainty in our soul. When you know this, listen, you start learning to put faith to work. When they say somebody has fever, you say, "Let me try and see how strong my faith is." You deal with fever. They say somebody is deaf, you say, "Let me try this one, if my spiritual muscle can carry." You deal with that. Then you go, they say somebody is dead, you say, "I want to test my faith." Because life for you now becomes practical. It's no longer theory of gathering scripture and quoting. It's no longer sweating and shouting. It is like Paul. When I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. I choose to know nothing among you, save Christ and Him crucified. He said, when I came, my preaching was not with enticing words of human wisdom. It was the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith may be built not on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. I am the answer the world is looking for. If I don't have it yet, it means I've not understood enough. And so I study more, I pray more, I meditate more. The more I know, the more answer I become. You know, I was in Ghana with my brother Jude, and I shared this truth. As I was talking, demons began to respond. A lady, I think it was when Sahil was ministering, that the lady demon started reacting. And so when I came and I was teaching, the demon was all over the place. And Jude stood up, pocket his hand and came, and he was just doing like this. The gear was going to hit the speaker. Three people went to hold her. I said, "Leave her. It's a demon." The demon knows that lords are here. The lady was closing her eyes. He did like this. The lady moved. He did like this. The lady moved. Come on! You are the light of the world. You are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. You are the answer, the one that is looking for.
When we
that's why I told you Christianity is not a religion. Is divinity manifested through humanity. When you come, God comes. When they are looking for God, He sends you there. And you are not just coming to talk to them about God. You are coming to show them God. You are coming to demonstrate God to them.
because what God carries, you have it now. You didn't just come with a message, you came with God. You have become an embodiment of divinity. That's what Christianity is about.
What's the difference between Christianity and other religion? Every other religion is trying to entreat a spirit to manifest. In Christianity, we carry the God to the world. That's the difference. That's the difference. And there are saints in Old Testament who knew it. And we are still here groveling, not able to articulate this reality. Faith is an insurance. Can I tell you something else about faith? It's not just the ability of God. Faith is God's creative technology. Faith is God's creative technology. The Bible said through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That the things which are were not made out of the things which do appear. I began by telling you that God gave you the life of the world to come. The reason God gave you faith is so that you become an architect. You paint the world to come over on top of this world. You become an engineer. You reconstruct the reality of the world to come in this world. So faith now becomes your ability to download what is to come into the now. That's why when a man is sick and you come, you say, be healed. What you have done is you have imported sicklessness into now. Men fall sick. In this age, people fall sick. But when you show up, you bring the atmosphere of that world where sickness does not exist. You superimpose it and sickness vanishes. So everyone who carries faith has been invited into the creative realm of divinity. Anything that is in the world to come, you can download it into here. You come into a family, demons are tormenting them. You say, no, the last time I checked that word, demons don't exist there. And so in the name of Jesus, get out from there. And you sanitize the environment. You are not ordinary. This is the gospel of the kingdom. It empowers you. It wakes you up to reality.
Hold on, my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water.
Lift your hands and sing.
Out of my belly, out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers,
rivers of living water.
Out of my belly
shall
flow rivers,
rivers,
rivers of living.
Somebody will leave this service. Hear this. Especially those of you that are giving to evangelism and mission. When next you are going for missions, don't go to your room and pray and say, Lord, please, when we go to the field, heal deaf ears, open blind eyes. No, don't pray like that. When you are praying, tell God, open my eyes to understand the technology of opening deaf ears. Open my eyes to understand how to open blind eyes. What do I need to do for cancer to dematerialize? When you pray like that, you'll be on the crusade ground. And as you are preaching, you will sense fire in your hand. And then the Holy Ghost you ask to teach you will now tell you, call everybody who is deaf. And he will call them. He will tell you, touch their ear. You will touch and ear will open. As you are teaching, the Holy Ghost will tell you, now watch. Now watch. I want to show you something. And as you are watching, somewhere in your spirit, something will pass, pierce like a wind. And you will just see somebody who stood up from a wheelchair. He will tell you, if you catch it, you can have it. And so you'll be preaching. As you are preaching, you are not just touching, you are now watching. And you are praying, you are watching. And suddenly, you hear that a left ear, somebody's ear just opened. You will stop quickly because you have caught it. You say there's somebody here. You are deaf on your left ear. It just opened. And somebody will shout, yes, I'm the one. God is teaching you. He's teaching you. He said, the Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. You have become a co-laborer with Christ. You are participating with him to advance his kingdom.
Yeah.
God will tell you, he said, when you are done preaching, he said, you will sense something like fire. He said, when you start sensing that thing, begin to command. It means the power to heal has come. And so when you are preaching, you don't care whether people are happy or not. Oh, is that fire you are waiting for? And so you preach. Even when your time is over, you still be preaching. Because if the fire doesn't come, preaching has not ended. And so you are preaching. When you see that preaching is not working, you will enter tongues. The moment, hear this. The moment you sense that fire, your prayer stops. And you will stand up. And you can now pocket your hands. You now say, anybody here who is sick, please come out. Then you can speak Queen's English. Yeah. If you don't get here and you speak Queen's English, you are in trouble. You can pocket your hands now and say, wait a minute. I want to show you God. Hello? You now say, stop the keyboard. Can you hear me? They'll say, yeah. You say, I want to begin with those who are deaf. If you are deaf, come out. At that time, you have liberty. When they come out, because you have sensed the fire, anything you do will work. You can tell them, handkerchiefs and apron were taken from the body of Paul, and they healed the sick. I want to show you that the Bible and the scripture did not end with the apostles. God is still doing wonders. Take this handkerchief. You will hold it and do like this. Put it on their ears. When they touch, you will say, if you've noticed the change, please come up. People will now come. You say, you see, God is alive. God is real. Christianity is practiced. It's not a religion. It's practiced. Sometimes you will go to crusade after the Holy Ghost tells you that fire will come. You will go to crusade 5 times. It has not come. The reason you will be going for the crusade is because you are waiting for the fire. And so you want to go for one crusade. You will pray from morning to evening. You go and minister. The fire didn't come. The next crusade you had fasting. You go, the fire didn't come. The next crusade, you add worship. When you go, the fire comes. You now know that what stirs that fire is prayer, fasting, and worship. You will not teach people that if you fast, fire will come. It's the Holy Ghost that gave you your own code. Somebody else will go to a crusade, and when he senses that everything becomes cold, that's when the hand of God is there. And then he will just take one hymn and begin to sing it. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So love He the world that He gave us His Son. Who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Who come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. You will not know that God told him,
when you reach the realm of power, the place will be cold. You will now go to your own crusade and you will kill the atmosphere, and you are acting like a spiritual man. When you are done singing, people will sleep. Because faith is a word. You grow it. God has put that ability in you. Your job is to research the spirit realm. Search it through prayer. Search it through meditation. Search it through worship. Until the codes become clear. Those codes are the things that ensure you. That's why faith is the ability of God, and it's also the technology of reprogramming this world and replicating that which is to come. It's an insurance system. It's a gift, but you must master it. You must master it. That's what Christianity is about. Praise God. Sit down for a moment. Somebody is already ready to take his miracle. I've not entered my message, but where we are now, healing can take place. This one now is by experience. I know where we are now, healing can take place. Few years ago, when I had not mastered my ministration handle, if I reach this kind of atmosphere, I'll quickly pray for the sick. Because when I'm praying, it can still go down. Because sometimes you go up, if you're not careful, you now decline. So the possibilities you hit in the meeting, you will lose it. Spirituality is a sensitive reality. You walk with the Holy Ghost. He guides you into it. It's a walk. And so faith is an insurance system. There are about 12 insurance systems God showed me. But tonight, what I want to talk about is the name of Jesus. And time is gone. Time is a body. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive my miracle now. Call your miracle by name. Call it by name. If you need to see, if you need to hear, if you need a financial breakthrough, call it now. Call it. You can catch it now. Your faith has been let loose. Is a bit long, and I don't want to rush it because it's a sensitive subject. And so what to do now is to worship God. I'll pray for you. So call it Divine Insurance System Part 1. Next week Sunday I'll preach on the name of Jesus. Rise up to your feet. I'm tempted to go forward, but I can't. It will take time. I want God to do something for you that will be instant, that will be tangible, and that will be undeniable. It will be instant, it will be tangible, and it will be undeniable. If you have such a need, lift your hands and ask the Lord for it now. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Forget that problem. Focus on Jesus now. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. 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 calm for a second. You can be calm. Just play the keyboard. I want to show you something now. You can be calm. Play that song for me on the keyboard. I want God to touch people who have bodily infirmities. Now, there's a challenge with your organ. There's a challenge with a part of your body. Your ears, your eyes, your liver, your kidney, lungs. You have a blood condition. Partial paralysis. Something just going wrong with your body. Right now, I want God to touch people in such category. And so if you are trusting God for a healing of that nature, just lift your right hand and close your eyes. Just lift your right hand. Everybody close your eyes. This is not the time to look around so you don't distract yourself.
It's you that I see. There is power in your name. Miracles are put in your name. As we lift our voice in prayer. As we lift our voice in prayer. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. There is power.
Now, just stay calm. Stay quiet. There are three things that will happen now. For some of you, the hand of God will come on you. It will be heavy. You will feel it on your chest like a weight. Like a weight. It will come so heavy. There are some of you that it will run over you like a very chilled cold water poured from your head down to your feet. And there are some of you that it will spark through you like an electric shock. In a split second, it will just run through you and correct that challenge in your body. Father, in the name of Jesus, your children are demonstrating their faith now. The power, the life, the virtue is here with us. And so in the name of Jesus the Christ, as I stretch hands towards them now, I release that virtue. Take that power. Every ear condition is corrected now. Every eye condition is corrected now. Every organ infirmity is corrected now. Every part of your body that is dying, I release life in the name of Jesus. Take that life now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ears begin to hear. Eyes begin to see. Growth dematerialized now. Dead organs come alive. Infections and infirmities check out of their bodies now. Thank you, Father. I break the chain of infirmity. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Demons have planted things in your body that they are moving. They are moving in your body. Those things are dying now and they are being removed from your body now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Somebody, you have this heaviness on your body. Your joints are so weak, it can't even carry you. Strength returns to you now. 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 Receive strength. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The second category I want to pray for now are those trusting God for a circumstantial breakthrough. You are qualified, no job is coming forth. They've given you 1,001 promises, you are not being invited. You have ideas, nowhere to express it. And for some of you, you have started, but roadblock everywhere. Nothing seems to be moving. Now put your right hand on your head. Every closed door standing before you, in the name of Jesus, I break them. Every force holding you back, not allowing you to move forward, in the name of Jesus, I cancel their oppression. Every limitation that has hindered you from rising up to the fullness of your potential, in the name of Jesus, I delete them from your path. Arise, shine. Your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen over you. I command your breakthroughs to come now. I command your emancipation to begin now. I command your enlargement to begin now. Break forth on every side. Break forth on every side. Break forth on every side. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Somebody is just stepping into the realms of millions. You have never seen it, but it will become your natural realm. Somebody, many chains, many streams of income just open to you now. For someone here, a 10 years restoration just happened to you now. Limitations of over 10 years. You have just been restored and recompensed now. I'm seeing debts being cancelled. You are owing millions of naira. Many persons are on your neck because of debts. In the name of Jesus, they are hereby cancelled. God wants us to grow. That is true. But if God waits for everyone to grow before they are blessed, many will die. Many will perish. That's why He creates intervention pathways. And so I decree over you now, every intervention you require, before this month comes to an end, you will handle it in the name of Jesus.
Let eternity be seen. River flow, let eternal river flow in your church once again. Let eternity, river flow, let eternal river flow in your church once again.
Father, thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Now, check your bodies quickly in the next 1 minute. I'm receiving signal in my spirit now to push a bit forward. The Lord is telling me somebody needs to know how to use the name of Jesus this week. So I need to share something. I'm receiving that unrest in my spirit. This signal is strong. So I can't leave it. You know, last week God told me to release vengeance on the devil because he wants to take a lot of persons. Or 2 weeks ago, more than 7 persons escaped accident. Even me, I was flying to Owerri. The pilot took off on the, while he was taxiing on the tarmac, the plane was shaking. I said, this plane is a new plane. Why is it galloping like this? The man took off while he was yet ascending. Before I went for that journey, my spirit was heavy. I knew I shouldn't make this journey. But I'd given my word already. It was like a lamb taken to the slaughter. I said, if I don't go, what will I tell these people? I dragged myself and went. While the plane was taking off, now, more than 70% of plane crash or issues related to plane crash is during takeoff and landing. That's the most dangerous time. That's why when they are flying, they say, off your phone. Because they need to be vitally connected to the tower. They need every signal at that point. Instructions, if there's any emergency, split second, they need to connect and be told what to do. The man took off while we were yet ascending. The plane went into a whirlwind. A very massive, and it was heavy. The downpour was heavy, and the wind was spinning like a Euroclidon. The plane shook. I know turbulence. I've traveled a lot. Plane began to fall. For almost 30 seconds, plane was falling. Pilot had not gotten control. People were screaming, hey, everywhere, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When the man eventually stabilized the plane, they prayed in tongues in that aeroplane for more than 10 minutes. Shakapatoba, Ipakoba, Abobaba. We almost perished. Before the plane landed, somebody had to preach the gospel on the plane. Everybody repented. People asked. The moment the pilot landed, people were clapping. I had to go and meet the pilot because I didn't want to assume anything. I said, what happened? It's an elderly white guy. He said, it was a mess up there. It was a mess. I didn't know how. We just got through, you know. It's an experience. He didn't know what happened. I said, is this how we would have died? Hey! Ordination said no. We can't end here. We would have sunk into dust and exploded. People will now say, huh? We said it. All these young boys that are just overzealous. You will hear things. See, this work of God is only God you are doing it for. If anything happens to you, what men will say? You will be shocked. But Jesus said no. Jesus said no. Sit down. Sit down. Let me share one or two things. If I don't finish, we continue. I feel a burden. What I want to achieve. How many of you have noticed a change? Just wave if you have noticed a change. If you have noticed a change already in your body, wave at me. Let me see. So, wow. Can you wave properly? I want to. Wow. People are already healed. So, let me say a few things. This one is no longer for miracle service. It's something you need to carry and work with. I feel somebody will need this revelation this week. It can't wait till next week. So, let's look at a few things about the name of Jesus very quickly. Now, the right to use the name of Jesus is the gift of God. You don't qualify. You know, I'm still talking about the insurance systems of the spirit realm. The gift of God is that He gave you the right to use the name of God. It's like a patent. Somebody designs a program, runs that program, and it works. And then it gives you the right to use it. You can make a lot of money from it because you have the right to use it. But you see, even though you have the right to use the name of Jesus, it will not be effective in your life until you know what that name represents in the spirit. If two persons are standing and you are told that any of them you choose, you have the right to exercise their authority because they will give you their seed. It will be a joy. But you can't maximize that right except as you know who they are. If they tell you, we want to give you the ATMs of these two people standing, pick one. And they put one person who is very huge, with white beard, looking chubby. And then Mark Zuckerberg comes with t-shirt and stands. If you are not careful to know weight beyond face value, you will leave the ATM of Mark Zuckerberg and pick the ATM of that brother. Then they will tell you he's a retired civil servant. He has served for 35 years. Meanwhile, he's a good man. He has integrity. He just retired from civil service. He has been laboring for 35 years. But this is the owner of Facebook. Since you didn't pick his ATM, it's well with you. You will not forgive yourself. So even though you have the right to use the name of Jesus, you need to understand what that name represents. So when you are using it, you are conscious of what you are commanding. The reason many people are shouting the name of Jesus but they are not having results is because they don't know what that name represents. So they don't even know how to channel their faith. And so in the study of the name of Jesus, the first fundamental thing that you need to know is what that name represents. That's what will determine whether your faith will work or not. Because it will give you expectation, it will give direction to your energy, and it will give confidence to what you are doing. Because you are sure that this name represents something. If you give me the ATM card of Dangote now and say withdraw 10 million, if I put it four times and money doesn't come out, I will keep putting. Because I know it's impossible for Dangote's ATM not to have as small as 10 million. This is why many people lay hands on the sick once. The person is not healed, they become afraid. Because they don't know what that name represents. If you know what it represents, you will insist until you see the answer you are looking for. Five things that the name of Jesus represents very quickly. Number one, the name of Jesus is the key for signs and wonders. Everywhere you see a sign and a wonder take place, know that at the foundation is the name of Jesus. In Mark 16:17, when he commissioned the disciples, he told them, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He said, "In my name." And so every sign you see is standing on a foundation. If you know this truth, you will know that your fasting brings you into revelation. You will know that your prayer brings you into revelation. But you will never build your confidence on your fasting and your prayer. The Muslims fast. The Muslims pray. The Hindus fast. The Hindus pray. Your confidence now will be on the name upon which your fasting is anchored. The reason many people, even though they fast and pray, still feel insufficient is because the devil will always whisper to them they didn't pray enough. They didn't fast enough. See, we will keep praying until we leave here. There's no such thing as praying enough. Prayer is a lifestyle. Fasting is a lifestyle. So grow in it, increase in it, improve in it. In fact, the Bible says pray without ceasing. You are not expected to stop praying. But what will substantiate your prayer, your fasting, your study of the word is your revelation of that name. And so when you come out, when you are done praying and fasting, you must build your audacity on the name of Jesus. He said the reason signs will follow the believers is because they will stand on my name. The moment they step out of my name, they step out of signs. He said, in my name, you will cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So it is in his name you lay hands on the sick. It's in his name you drink and eat. It's in his name you step out of your house. Anything you do outside of his name put you at risk. In my name. And so if you are carrying the name of Jesus, you have no reason to be afraid, because he has told you where the power is. He has told you the key and the trigger, that is the name. And so the name of Jesus is what intoxicates a believer to walk in signs and wonders. In Acts chapter 4 verse 30, when the apostles were threatened, they went to pray. That's why I told you, you will never stop praying. But when they were done praying, the Bible said the place where they were was shaking. And this is what they said, that you should stretch forth your hands, that signs and wonders be done. Not by stretching forth your hands, but that signs and wonders be done, what? In the name of thy holy child. So they have prayed, they have asked God to stretch his hands, but they know that the sign and the wonder will be what? In the name of his holy child. Most times, the reason we don't see results is because we don't know where to channel our faith. We channel our faith to our fasting. We channel our faith to our prayer. We channel our faith to our religious activity instead of expressing our faith through the name of Jesus Christ. If I pray, it's good because the anointing on my life is volatile. But in case I don't pray, I don't think the results should diminish. Because whether I pray or not, I'm going in the name of Jesus. Whether I fast or not, I'm going in the name of Jesus. But I must pray and fast because my growth depends on prayer. My growth depends on fasting. But even though I'm fasting and praying, I will never make the mistake of assuming. Because if I assume that the result will be commanded by my fasting, then I'll take the credit. I will say it's because I fasted. But the Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency might be of God and not of man. The system is not designed for you to be able to take the credit. That's why I told you God can share his glory, but not his praise. The praise must return to him. And this is why at the end of the day, what produces the result must be tied to Jesus Christ. If it is not tied to Jesus Christ, the result will never come. The name of Jesus is the foundation of miracles, signs, and wonders. In Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 34, it says, and it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters. You see why we don't rest? They said the guy went through every quarter, every region, every realm. Because that's what they saw Jesus do. They say he went to every town and in every village. You stroll to two villages, you say, man, we are laboring. The work we have done is not a small thing. How many villages have you gone to? He said Jesus went to every town and every village. Now he's saying Peter went through all quarters. These men, they didn't rest. That's why they took their word. Even if you must rest, how old are you, sir? Are you 60? Are you 65? You are still a young man. You say, oh, man must rest, though. We no go die, yo. How much have you done? The people that preached 1,500 years ago, they were traveling on the back of camel, riding through desert. You sit in business class. You went for a crusade. They set the stage. You came with suit and said, Jesus is Lord. The power of God is moving. You finish. You say, oh, man, we are tired, though. They say, no easy. Maybe you should ride the horse for 2 hours. Go somewhere and preach and come back. You will tell me whether Paul will not slap you if you say you are tired. And this does not mean you shouldn't rest. Don't get me wrong, right? But see what the Bible said. It said Peter came also to the saints which dwelt in Lydia. Go further. And he said, and there he found a man named Annas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Here's what Peter did. And Peter said unto him, Annas, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. Jesus Christ, make thee whole. The apostles knew the secret. In Acts chapter 3 from verse 5 to verse 6, it said Peter and John were coming to the place of prayer at the hour of prayer. So, this is the environment of prayer. The normal thing to do would have been, call the saints, let's gather together and pray in tongues. Kaka, kaka. No. He said they met the man, and the man was looking at them, hoping to receive something. And he said, Peter said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none. He said, such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus. They will always do everything in the name, because they knew how they were commissioned. He said, the signs shall follow you in my name. And so these men built the totality of their confidence on the name of Jesus. I can tell you they prayed more than us. They fasted more than us. They did evangelism more than us. But there was nothing they did outside the name of Jesus. In our generation today, we are even carried away that the name of Jesus is now a forgotten reality. Somebody comes, he wants to do something supernatural. And it's either he quotes scripture, and make declaration. Or he prays, and make declaration. You will faintly and scarcely hear the name of Jesus. Even the messages we preach today, you will listen to 20 messages from a man of God. You will never hear Jesus. He will tell you about how many years he fasted. He will tell you about how many years he has been given. He will tell you about how many encounters he has had. That's why people are becoming deified. They are building a momentum consciously around themselves so that you will see them as superstars. If we don't consciously project Jesus, signs and wonders will keep diminishing. I've been to prophetic conferences in our generation, apostolic conferences in our generation, and the deaf came deaf and left deaf. Cripples came crippled and went crippled. Meanwhile, people that have had encounters in the third heaven were there. But we didn't see any result. Why? Because when you remove the name of Jesus, you remove miracles. When you remove the name of Jesus, you remove signs and wonders. When you remove the name of Jesus, everything supernatural dies down. Because the name of Jesus is the seal for miracles, for signs, and for wonders. Therefore, every time you are calling the name of Jesus, don't think religion. Think signs, think wonders. The reason we call the name of Jesus is because we want to animate the supernatural. The name of Jesus is not a religious cliche. The name of Jesus is not something we call because we're taught to call it. The name of Jesus is a trigger for wonder. And so every time you say in the name of Jesus, the first thing that will come to your mind is miracles, signs, wonders. If you don't have that consciousness, even if you call it, there will be no result. Because you don't know why you are calling it. Some even call that name out of fear. The car hits another car. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But a man who has understanding, even if he were to call Jesus in that situation, he will think the car will move. He will think something supernatural will happen, because the moment that name comes to his mind, the miraculous comes to his mind. He knows it's like a man coming to a door with a key. The moment you are approaching that door with that key, you are just seeing that room already. Your whole consciousness, your whole expectation is to enter the room. You don't come to a door and you are just putting key and turning it. No. The reason you went towards that door with that key is because you know you want to enter. And so every time you call the name of Jesus, the same way, let your consciousness be flooded. What possibility am I about to see? What wonder am I about to see? Because the name is the trigger for wonder. Christians have abused the name of Jesus. They don't know why they call it. Some call it for religious purpose. Others call it out of fear. But those who understand this name, they know that the name is the trigger for the miraculous. And so every time they pronounce that name, they are expecting miracles. If you can't call the name of Jesus and not ask for testimonies. You can't call the name of Jesus and not ask if a miracle took place. Why then did you call it? Some people pray and call the name of Jesus 5 times. They are not even bold enough to ask if you are healed, come up. Because they are still afraid nothing will happen. The reason is because they don't know why the name was given. When God was giving us the name of Jesus, he was giving us the ticket to the miraculous. When he gave us the name of Jesus, he was giving us the trigger for signs and wonders. And so every time we call the name of Jesus, we must expect signs and wonders. If you are not expecting signs and wonders, stop calling the name. This is how it works. And the more consciousness you build around this reality, the more results you begin to see. The second thing the name of Jesus represents is access and divine approval. Every time you call the name of Jesus, the consciousness that you well up in your mind is that God has accepted you. The name of Jesus is the seal of approval in the realm of God. That is why not everybody was given the name. The name was given to us that are justified. The name was given to us that are already accepted in the beloved. And so when you call the name of Jesus, it should be a reminder to you that right here, right now, God is not angry with me. If so long as I can call that name, it means God is not angry with me. It means God has opened his realm to me. That's why even when you sin, you still come to God. If you didn't have the name of Jesus and if approval was not given to you, if you sin and approach God, even you know. Today, somebody comes to God and says, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I fornicated. Lord, I lied. If not because the grace of God covers you. If God finds sin on you, he will kill you. If God finds sin on you, he will lick you up. He said, thou, O Lord, out of a purer eyes, your eyes cannot behold iniquity. That you even came to God and told him you have sinned is a sign of mercy. If mercy was not there, the moment you approach him, you are dead. You can't come before him with guilt and iniquity. But there is a name that has sealed us. There's a name that has given us approval. That's why every time we approach God, we don't approach God with our rank. In fact, when you approach God, you drop your rank. Till date, the 24 elders, they cast their crown. They fall from their thrones because nobody is permitted to approach God with his rank. Your rank is necessary with demons. Your rank is required when you go into the world. But when you come to God, the only thing that brings you there is the name of Jesus. If the name of Jesus is removed from you, you lose access to God's realm. I read a few scriptures for you quickly. I'm showing you this because these things are the baseline requirements for Christianity. There are many people today who still think. They still think the reason they had that encounter, the reason they could come before God, the reason God shows up when they spoke, is because they gave money to the poor. If you know how many people give in billions to God but have no relationship with God, you will be humble. Some people still think there is, you know, some of these things are actually an affront to God, but we are not aware. Somebody thinks the reason he saw an encounter and he was in the throne room was because he fasted for 21 days. Do you know how many people have fasted for 1 year? Even the devil, as dethroned as the devil is, you may need to fast for 1 year to see the devil. God shows up in his majesty, opens his realm to you, and you say, well, you know, I went on a 40 days fast, I was only drinking water, and so the throne of God, the throne, you know the throne of God. So you came into the throne of God because you fasted for 40 days. It is mercy that allows us to enjoy the things we enjoy. And one of the ways we have access to the cactus of mercy is by the name of God. The moment you say in the name of Jesus, God can't hold himself. Because the name of Jesus means more to God than it means to you. In fact, all the revelations of the name of Jesus will have is not half compared to what that name means to God. And so when you call the name of Jesus, there's an assurance that I am also a participator in the throne room. The reason I can stand boldly and say I'm a prince in Zion is because the name of Jesus is named upon me. When I stand, God sees Jesus in me. When I show up, God sees Jesus in me. And that's why when I'm in crisis, I'm not afraid, because I know I came there with Jesus. I have an access not just to God, but to go with God anywhere I go. And so in the midst of crisis, I know God is with me. I know Jesus is there. And if Jesus is there, I cannot be drowned. I cannot be destroyed. I cannot finish, because I go with Jesus. It's access. It's approval. The seal of God's approval is on your life. Men may reject you. Don't feed down through them. You'll find many Christians today struggling with high blood pressure, struggling with depression, all kinds of things, because somebody said something to them. Somebody lied against them. Some people even go as far as committing suicide. They said, this person lied against me. Jesus said, blessed are you if men say all kinds of things against you falsely for my name's sake. He said, rejoice and be glad. Why will I have high blood pressure? Why will I feel depressed because somebody lied against me? That's his business. When he's done lying, I will keep moving forward. When the time comes, God will vindicate me. I will still keep moving forward. Whether I'm vindicated or not, I'm moving forward because I'm unstoppable. He said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. Those are the things that dominate my consciousness. And those who are lying behind you, they're actually behind. So they should remain there. So long as they are not ahead of me, I'm moving forward. The only time I have problem is when you stand ahead of me. And God help you stand. I will crush you and pass like trailer. Because there's no force that can stop me. I'm like a hurricane. The Bible said, as the wind bloweth, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. It says, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. There is a force about our life. And we are not about to stop. But the reason we have that audacity, the reason we are unconquerable, is because we come in Christ. We come with the name of Christ. Nothing can stop us. They've not invented enough technology in hell to stop you. They've not invented that thing that can limit your destiny. You can only be limited if you give it permission. God has already put his seal on your life. You are his beloved. You are his approved man. You are the one he has sent to the world. And everything you need to prosper, he has already released it upon your life. You are the answer your world is looking for. But the reason you are so is because the name of Jesus is on your life. Please, 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 learn to be conscious of that name. The Bible said, whatsoever you do, do in the name of the Lord. Learn to be conscious of that name. When you stand up and you are going out, tell yourself, I go in the name of the Lord. When you are going into a business, tell yourself, I go in the name of the Lord. When you are starting a ministry, tell yourself, I start in the name of the Lord. Never find yourself doing anything outside of the name of God. The approval of God is on that name. And when you function by that name, the approval of God is with you. Jesus was speaking in John 14, verse 13 and 14. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he said, my Father will grant it unto you. In John 16, 23, 24, he said, until now you have asked for nothing. He said, ask that you may receive, that your joy may be complete. He said, for verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask in my name, he said, my Father will grant it. If you come in the name of Jesus, God can't reject you. That's why God is careful before naming the name of God of Jesus on your life. You can't be rejected by God if the name of Jesus is on your life. It's a seal of God's approval. And if that seal is on you, everything that pertains to you, that seal is on. You see why we are invincible? You see why we are inconquerable? But many Christians are not aware that they have been named the name of Jesus. Number three, the name of Jesus gives you authority over every demonic entity. In Mark 16, 17, it said, in my name, cast out devils. It's plural. Whatever they are, whichever they are, whichever rank, whichever class, it said, in my name, cast out devils. All of the authority of God is invested in the name of Jesus. That's the riches of that name. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it said, God gave him a name that is above every other name. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee, not some knee. Do you know, it's not only demons that bow at the name of Jesus. Even you and I bow. You know, when we say every knee shall bow, people think it's only demons. It's not only demons. It's men, angels, and everything that God created. So the name of Jesus carries the investment of the totality of the authority of God. And so when you carry that name, it's like you are carrying... What do they call this thing now in the National Assembly? Help me. What are you people saying? What language is that? The maze. I was wondering if it's Swahili you were speaking. If you like, the Senate President should be there. The Vice President should be there. The Majority Leader should be there. The Minority Leader should be there. The Chief Whip should be there. The third majority should be there. If the maze is not there, nothing happens. That's what the name represents. When you carry the... I heard the other time they had a challenge and the Senate President ran to his village with the mace. They now plotted a coup to remove him. When they gathered, the quorum was complete. They had agreed. Remove him now. They were looking for mace. Mace is nowhere. That means quorum is relevant to the degree of the availability of the mace. If the mace is not there, quorum is useless. You see why? Even when we gather together to pray, if we don't have the revelation of the name, things don't happen. He said, wherever two or three of you are gathered, not just gathered, in my name. It's my name that validates your gathering. If my name is not there, if you like, let 2,000 or 2 million of you gather, it's null and void. When you carry that name, tell yourself, the totality of the authority of heaven is with me. I have all the powers in heaven. I have all the authority of heaven. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee bow in heaven, on earth, and even in the world beneath. So throw me to hell today, I will not be afraid. Because I know every spirit there bows at the name of Jesus. But there are some Christians that, if you off the light in this room now, they'll start. There'll be fear. They'll start checking. Hope all is well. Hope all is. They don't know the name of Jesus. It is the seal of the totality of the authority of God. And when God gifted us that name, he gave us the authority of heaven. See, be audacious. Talk to your business. Your business will obey. Talk to your environment. Your environment will obey. Talk to your ministry. Your ministry will obey. Any change you want to see, use that scepter. It's a tool of authority. It's not a religious name. It's a tool. Can I shock you? Even the people that God didn't give that name, some of them, when they are in trouble, they put their faith on that name and use it and have results. Have you seen many Muslims that testify they were in crisis, they didn't know what to do, and they say in the name of Jesus of the Christians? And because they came to their lowest end and called that name with all their trust, the name still produced result. But the Christian carries that name like a religious baggage and is shouting it all over the place. He doesn't even know what it means. That name is the investment of the totality of the authority of God. When you call the name of Jesus, just know that you have invoked the highest authority there ever will be. No authority again will be superior to that authority. It is the highest authority that the world will ever see. It's an investment of God. Finally, victory belongs to Jesus. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Finally, the name of Jesus is a seal of salvation and of preservation. In Matthew 1:21, He said, "You will give birth to a child, and his name shall be called Jesus." He said, "For he shall save his people from their sins." In Acts 4:12, He said, "There is no name under heaven given by which men shall be saved." The name of Jesus is where salvation is invested. The name of Jesus is where preservation is invested. In fact, in Proverbs 18:10, it said, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." It said, "The righteous run therein and they are saved." See, anytime you know that you have the name of Jesus, there is a boldness that will come to you. You can literally tell yourself, "No man can kill me. Nothing can kill me. See, no matter what they plan against me, I can never go down." In fact, this revelation sometimes intoxicates you. Ask my wife, she will tell you, "I never pray for protection. They say people are ganging up against you." I say they wasted their time. The time they should have used for their investment and for improving their life, they just wasted it. I'm like an invincible force. You can't bring me down. If you like, plan it for 10 years. Plan it for 20 years. The more you plan, the more you waste your time. I know the preservative power of the name like I know myself. I don't waste my time praying all kinds of prayer. Even this ministry today, ask those who live around me, they will tell you. I don't go kneeling down and I'm praying, "Oh God, all the demons, destroy ministries in Abuja, they will not see this one. All the people planning against ministries in Abuja, they will not see." This is a covering. The name of Jesus is name over this ministry. If the devil comes, he wasted his time. If men gang up, they wasted their time. That revelation is too potent that it has become a shield. The more I carry it, the more preserved I am. I pray for other people, for God to cover them, because I know I have the covering of God. Many Christians don't know what they carry. The insurance that the name of Jesus brings to you, even the strongest military intelligence cannot bring it. But the degree to which you see it is your consciousness. And so when you call the name of Jesus, please put religion aside. When you are going out and you call the name of Jesus, tell yourself, "Because I have the name of Jesus as a seal, 1,000 shall fall by my side, 10,000 by my right hand. It will never come near me. I will only see and hear of what is happening to the wicked. The name of Jesus is my insurance. I am too guarded to be a victim. I'm too protected to be defeated. I'm too secured to be overthrown by the devil. There is nothing." Did you not read what Jesus said? He said, "Nothing shall by any means." That is double emphasis. Number one, he said, "Nothing shall hurt you." Number two, he said, "By no means shall anything hurt you." It's double emphasis. And so there is nothing in this world designed enough, with potency enough to hurt you. And no matter how they update the software, they can bring what the devil is planning to use in the next 50 years. It can still not overcome you, because you have become an impregnable fortress. But the reason you are so is because you are hid under the name of Jesus. He said the name is a strong tower. As you walk around this week, walk with a renewed consciousness. We are not the type that die in accident. No, it's not us. We don't die in accident. Three things will happen. It's either we miss that car or the car will miss us. But we will never be there. And in case we are in that car, something will happen that either the accident is averted or we escape the accident. But there is no way we can die by accident. And in case the accident is not averted and we don't escape the accident, even if we enter the accident, we will come out. We will come out. So these are the three possibilities. We either miss the car or the car misses us. Or we miss the accident or the accident misses us. But in case we enter the accident, when people come and say, oh, we will walk out without a scratch. And then they will say, how did you come out of that car? And then he will say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein. They are saved. Before I entered that car, I entered the name of Jesus. So it's the name of Jesus that was in that car. If you want to find me, you will find me in the car. You will find there was no physical commitment. God just told him, I will preserve you. And the guy wrote a psalm out of it. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. For thy staff and thy rod, they comfort me. And he said, the one that blew my mind. He said, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they say, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And then you are thinking he has said too much already. And he now went further to tell you, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you hear what the guy is saying? The guy is telling you that, number one, what happened to men don't happen to me. I am always by the still water. I'm always by green pasture. So you will never catch David praying, give me food to eat. He said, I am by green pasture. I am by still water. This ministry we are doing, we have never called anybody, please come and help. We live perpetually in abundance. That's the mentality of a shielded man. And he said, just in case you find me in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not part of those who are dying. I'm not part of them. Find 1,000 dead men, you will find me alive there. I'm not part of them. And that's why when he finished his mission on earth, he said, David, when he served the will of the Lord, he rested with his fathers. We don't die. When we finish, we translocate into another dimension. And the guy still went further to say, even if my enemies gather, I'm not about to fidget. He said, when you find me in the midst of my enemies, they are not killing me. I am feasting there. They don't have the power to hurt me. He said, my table is prepared in the midst of my enemies. My cup runs over. Now, those who are Jewish people, they understand that part of the psalm better. When you visit a Jewish man and you are welcome, the sign that you are welcome is that when he pours water in the glass for you, he deliberately pours it to overflow. So it is the kind of grand welcome that your best friend gives to you that David says he enjoys in the midst of his enemies. Whereas some of us are praying every day, all my enemies must die, all my enemies must perish, all my enemies must go. No, if all your enemies die, what's the fun of glory? Some of them have to be alive to see what God will do with you. Yes, that's how they repent. Some of them have to wait for a while to see that all the demonic prophecies they made about you didn't come to pass. When the time for the prophecy elapsed, then you will come back and start preaching in parables. You say, you know, some people said in 7 years we are going to go down. The last time we checked, this is 15 years and we are going forward. Because we don't know how to go down. Your enemies will wish evil. It will never happen. He will not allow the rod of the enemy to kindle upon you. The reason you are prospering is not because your enemies are gone. It's because their presence don't count. And the reason you enjoy that level of
insurance
is because God is with you.
I prophesy over you, nothing will take you down. I prophesy over you, nothing will see your end. I prophesy over you, your mouth shall be enlarged over your enemies. I prophesy over you, every weapon fashioned against you shall not prosper.
When they think you have come to the end of your life, that's when the new story will begin. Because everywhere they call your terminal point will become another junction for another dimension of glory. I decree over you, you become a puzzle that your enemy cannot resolve. You become a mystery to your generation. You become a parable for your generation. You become a wonder for your generation. And hear this, somebody who thinks he has come to the end, fear not, another chapter of your life is about to begin. That thing they call an end, I hereby change it by the prophetic authority. It becomes another page of your life. Arise and shine, for your light is come. You are a wonder to your world. Lift your hands and honor the Lord.
Lion of Judah, Hakune Chemba,
Yeshua,
Yeshua,
Hamashiach,
Lion of Judah, Hakune Chemba,
Yeshua.
Somebody is hearing me now. You have given up on yourself. But I came to tell you, Jesus is about to shock you. You know what you didn't understand? You thought your life was in your hand. You thought it was your effort that would determine your promotion. It's good to work hard, but your promotion is not with you, it's with God. I came to surprise you that before this month is over, an entirely new chapter will open over your destiny. Somebody is hearing me here. You are living in fear because somebody you thought is powerful threatened you and told you are finished. Hear this. Here's the word of the Lord for you. Every year you will be 10 times better than you were. And by the time you come to the 7th year of your life, you will become greater than that one that threatened you. By the power of the Holy Ghost, become greater than everybody from your lineage.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He said, though the enemy might come in, he said, but like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. By the name of Jesus, a standard has been lifted for you. And every enemy galloping in your direction, they will fall down and die. You will never be a victim. By the time you finish your walk with God, gallantly, you will translate to the other dimension. Your story shall be from glory to glory, from honor to honor, from power to power, from grace to grace, and from splendor to splendor. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name, give the Lord the shout! I share these things so you will know what to anchor your faith on. The name of Jesus means a lot. It's not a religious cliche. Never use it as a religious cliche. By the time I'm teaching next week, I will go deep to show you the riches in the name of Jesus. I didn't want to go there because it will stir something in me so much, and we may go too much overboard. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you. Lift up His countenance over you. And give you peace. All your life you are blessed. And everything planned negatively into your future, now we correct it. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. Prevail. Break the head of your enemy. And rise continually. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.